On the record. On News Talk.
With Pinergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
I'm going to read you a line from a piece that's been written by our next contributor, which was published in the New York magazine during the week. In Massachusetts, the Moderna vaccine design took all of one weekend. It was completed before China had even acknowledged that the disease could be transmitted from human to human. It means that for the entire span of the pandemic in the United States, which has already been killed, already killed more than 250,000 Americans, we already had the tools we needed to prevent it. That's written by David Wallace Wells, who is deputy editor of New York Magazine. He joins us on the line now. David, thanks very much for joining us. It's a fascinating piece. I don't know whether you wrote the headline on it. Most people don't. The headline is pretty provocative. It says, we had the vaccine the whole time. What do you mean by that?
Well, the genetic sequence of the disease was released sort of without approval by a Chinese scientist on January 10th. And this first vaccine, the Moderna one, was completely designed by January 13th, which wasn't just, you know, as you said, before China admitted that it was the disease could be transmitted human to human. It was also before a single confirmed case had been registered in the United States. And in fact, they produced the vaccine and shipped it to begin clinical trials before a single American had died. So we had this vaccine by January 13th. We had the design for it by January 13th. Mm. We had it in hand by mid-February. And that means that for all of those deaths, not just in the US, but almost all deaths, all throughout Europe and anywhere outside of China, we had the tools, as I wrote in the piece, to prevent the pandemic from happening at all. Now, of course, vaccines are always subject to prolonged clinical testing and safety testing, efficacy testing.
And you're not suggesting that be bypassed, or you're not suggesting that all of the usual clinical trials be dispensed with?
Well, I'm not suggesting that we should have done that this time, but a number of scientists I spoke to looking at these facts said that, in fact, if we built the proper infrastructure going forward, that we wouldn't have to wait in nearly the same way that we did during COVID-19 during the next pandemic, because much of the work that we do during clinical trials, especially phase 1, but also to some degree phase 3 efficacy trials in the US, could have been done actually before the pandemic even arrived, because we have a very good sense of what vaccine, of what viruses are out there that could give rise to pandemics. And in theory, if we devoted the resources to it, we could actually develop vaccines to fight those viruses before they even made themselves known in human populations.
So can you flesh that out for us then? If all the infrastructure had been there and if everything had worked in the way that some scientists believe that it could, how would things have looked? You would have had this Moderna vaccine designed, as you say, on January the 13th. It would have been physically manufactured and in hand on February. What would have happened then?
Well, we probably would have skipped in, you know, in theory, we would have had that vaccine not just in January or February, but beforehand, sitting on a shelf ready to go, because we would have known that this virus was circulating in bats and would have prepared a vaccine defense against it. And not only that, we would have done safety testing beforehand. So safety testing is, you know, you don't need the disease to be present in human populations. You give it to a limited number of participants and see whether they have any adverse reactions. So we would have known by the time the disease announced itself, not only that we had a vaccine that would combat it, but also that it would be safe to be given in humans. We may at that point have wanted to do some amount of safety testing in populations that had been exposed to the disease, but you could complete them in a period of a few months. In fact, the efficacy testing that was done in the US for the Moderna vaccine started in the fall and did only last 3 months. So if you started that timeline in January, you could have had the vaccine not just you know, knowing that it was safe, but also knowing that it would be effective by the late spring. So we wouldn't have avoided the entire pandemic in that instance, but we would have prevented the summer surge in Europe, the late summer surge in Europe, and into the fall in both the US and Europe.
I suppose the question there, David, then is whether it was some sort of political oversight or a failure of imagination that there wasn't this kind of infrastructure there, or whether that it actually just was a genuine lack of imagination, that this is a pandemic on the scale of which no one has ever lived through before. It requires a vaccine to be rolled out quicker than anyone has ever manufactured before. And maybe just nobody had the ingenuity to realize that you could condense or overlap the phases the way that you're outlining.
My sense, talking to public health experts and vaccine scientists, is much more that you know, we could have done this if we had devoted the resources to it beforehand, and that there were a lot of people warning about a pandemic precisely like this and the problem of failing to prepare for it properly for many years. You know, Bill Gates famously gave a TED talk a decade or so ago in which he outlined a very, very similar scenario to the one that's played out this year. There's one reason why he's become a target of some conspiracy theorizing on the internet. But the people who know this material sort of knew exactly what was going to happen. They didn't know when it was going to happen, but they also knew what was necessary to stop it. Unfortunately, you know, we live in a world where our governmental resources and public attention is really fickle, and we don't do an enormous amount of work to prepare properly for the future, even when we know it's quite scary.
Sure. Without meaning to turn it into too much of a political football, then, is there anyone or any finger that you can point at all of this, or is it simply just the fact that no politician wants to sink millions, or even possibly in the US's case, trillions of dollars into a program that doesn't have any obvious tangible application?
Well, I think going forward, we're probably going to change the way that we do business so that almost every country in the world makes approvals in a much more aggressive way, especially in the face of an onrushing pandemic. Looking back, the fact that every government had failed to do this properly suggests that it's not a failure of a single leader or a single style of leadership, but something that we've just, given the history of medical development and vaccine design, that we've come to a point where, you know, we're basically working on old models of safety and efficacy, and especially haven't adjusted our approach given our genetic advances over the last few decades.
I'm sure one counterpoint to the idea of being able to condense all of these phases, or to run the safety trials first and then worry about the clinical efficacy at a later point, is the idea that nobody is entirely comfortable with vaccines being conceived and being rolled out quite so quickly. And you even write in your piece in Europe magazine that even perhaps the title of Operation Warp Speed is the sort of language that might discomfort some people. Do you think that take-up of vaccines could be perhaps compromised if people thought that processes were being rushed, or if they weren't being done in the same time-honored way that we're used to?
It's certainly possible. You know, polling on this timeline of vaccine development has shown that there was some amount of significant skepticism about the vaccines 6 months or so ago, but that has diminished over time as we've gotten more and more information about them. I think that if we were to develop a sort of comprehensive approach to testing that allowed us to do much more of it preemptively, the public wouldn't be so alarmed when we did that. Given the state of the vaccine infrastructure that we have today, it would have been alarming to rush a vaccine out because nobody had ever experienced that before and we hadn't seen it in action before. But going forward, if we changed our approach and did things a little bit differently, I think the public would get accustomed to it and not be especially alarmed by it. And I would say it's not just that, if we did embrace this new approach, it wouldn't just mean pushing phase one safety trials before the arrival of the disease. A lot of scientists I spoke to said that we could do a lot of the efficacy trials beforehand too, because we could basically do that in a laboratory. And one of the things that was most striking to me in talking to all of these scientists is that not a single one of them was surprised by the results of these vaccine tests. So they weren't surprised by the safety and they weren't surprised by the efficacy. All of them said, you know, to an individual, that in January, they knew that we would have a safe and effective vaccine because the virus was so close to other viruses that had been studied and we knew how to combat them. So the fact that all the scientists who know that material so well were that confident in the efficacy of the vaccine suggests that some of what happened was essentially a form of public health theater, not a matter of true testing.
It's fascinating, the idea that the new normal could also extend to this being the model through which vaccines are rolled out and developed in future. Before we let you go, you might just give us an oversight as to where exactly COVID-19 is now in the US, because a lot of people might think that the forthcoming change of leadership and the Electoral College meeting tomorrow might mean that things are you know, beginning to finally improve, but the figures don't seem to bear that out.
It's a really unfortunate coincidence of timing that we have a changeover of leadership in late January, having had an election in early November, because that period of time, those couple of months, because of the seasonality of the disease, are likely to be the worst in the entire pandemic. So right now we have a few thousand Americans dying every day. We have several hundred thousand new cases every day. the pace of growth seems to be slowing relatively over the last week or two. So it's not, we're not in exponential growth anymore, but we're not even at a plateau yet. We're still growing in terms of cases and in terms of hospitalizations and deaths. And I think that's likely to continue at least through not just the presidential transition, but probably through February, even March, when we really start to see the vaccine uptake visible in the numbers.
Sure. We're really tight on time, David. One final question. Is there any evidence of how the Thanksgiving celebrations have impacted on that? Because obviously we're looking at Christmas now and we're wondering how that will affect ours.
It doesn't look so dramatic to me. You know, the numbers were going up earlier in November and they continued to go up, but it wasn't a step change. And so I think that we're looking more at a consistent trajectory upward rather than a single date or weekend making a real difference in the numbers.
Okay, fascinating stuff. David, very much appreciate your time this lunchtime. Thanks so much for joining us when it's so early where you are. David Wallace Wells, Deputy Editor of The New York Magazine. We will tweet out a link to the piece that he wrote, by the way. We'll check it out. You'll find it on Twitter after the show. On the Record NT is the hashtag.